Well, it's 12 o'clock or shortly thereafter. We'll go ahead and get started with the workshop. And Tom, I'll turn it over to you to introduce our guest.
Yeah, I'm going to actually have Chris do the introduction. So Chris can introduce John.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the earlier different day board meeting. So we came to you, I believe it was in September, with the early draft of the master plan. And just wanted to remind you that it's an every 5 year master plan that the college does. We submit it back to the state. There's a lot that goes into it. The architect, Spiesel Architects, was selected, I believe it was last April, for this job and has been working ever since. September was when we came with some of those early ideas. We've since met with a lot of other constituents and groups within the college to get to the point where we are today. A lot of meetings with Dr. Labasso and FPAC. So we're finally at the point where we have got the final draft and wanted to bring it back, and which we promised you guys we would before it gets finalized and voted on in the board meeting after this. So I will turn it over to John Wright, who has been the principal in charge working on the master plan. And I think he'll probably say the same thing, but feel free to ask questions. It's kind of almost better to ask the questions when you see it than waiting. So if you've got something, just let them know, and we'll answer those questions for you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Wright.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me at the meeting. I really appreciate it. This is very exciting for us to be here. Again, John Wright, I'm principal with Spiesel Architectural Group. I did not do this alone. This has been a very comprehensive process. Some of you met Bob Reed from our office, as well as other individuals, and we've had the whole team and a lot of great involvement from the college. So again, thank you very much. Very excited to bring this to you today. As Chris mentioned, it will be great if this is interactive or if you have any questions. Some of this, I don't want to be repetitive, but I also want to take us through the process and just remind people of how we got here, because this has been several months of going through information and data collection and churning through options to come up what we feel is a great and exciting next five-year plan for the college. So we'll present some general overall information, and then we're going to look at it campus by campus. We address five campuses as part of this master plan. So as we go through a campus, we can sort of address them one by one instead of, again, waiting to the end and somebody trying to remember, can you go back to slide four, and then it gets a little cumbersome. So feel free to call out questions, point out anything, and if I miss anything, anybody feel free to fill in the blanks. But again, thank you very much for having us. So there's a lot of information that went into the master plan. The final document's going to be hundreds of pages with hundreds of pages of backup if anybody has ever seen a master plan. Our purpose in presenting this, presenting it to FPAC, having previously presented it to the board, though, is to sort of synthesize it and get to the high points of the plan. Because some of the information in that plan really doesn't relate at this board. I mean, the board, it matters everything, but there's some stuff that's really granular. But this is the big topic, big idea stuff that we're excited to present to you. So we'll talk you how we got here. We're going to talk about the recommendations, and we'll talk about the remaining next steps, which, frankly, aren't very many. But again, still involve final approval, final comment from this group. So the process, we go through a five-step process, and we went through it on here. This is a standard for our master planning process. Really began with determining the goals and vision of the college, and also focusing on the values. What was important? What was important to be looked at as part of this master plan? Coming out of some uncertain times and some very interesting events in the last couple years. So there really wasn't any room to make assumptions about what was happening in this world around us and how it was impacting Daytona State College and how the college could positively impact and rebound and go through this. We did facilities and campus assessments. We walked the buildings. We looked at reports. We looked at all the data and metrics. We interviewed, I think, probably 20 to 30 different individuals and groups. It was phenomenal, the participation we were able to receive. And I think that's a testament to how well this master plan turned out because of that level of involvement from everybody. We completed a needs analysis, and that's when we started presenting to FPAC, SALT meetings, the original board meeting. Once we had enough information, we were able to bring it to different groups and say, this is what we've heard, but we needed your context because this is your college, not us. You know, we're the professionals, but this is your college. So we needed to marry up what we were hearing versus what you see and feel every day, and we were able to put together the needs analysis. We then finalized solutions recommendations, and by that means pulled them together into draft form. We pulled them into draft plans. We've landed on 5- and 20-year target plans for improvements. And then ultimately it goes into the action plan, the final master plan. So this is the process we've undertaken. And at this time, we're effectively nearing the completion of phase five, very close at the end of phase five here. And it's been very exciting. We learned a lot. So there's a lot of data up here. Please don't feel the need to write it. It's in the books in front of you, but I meant read it. But what's most important, we heard high-level things. Student wellness, student success, workforce. There were some underlying themes that kind of came through and pervaded what we wanted to be able to do in all campuses. How are we going to address campus enrollment, level it off, and then increase it? You know, so come out of this in a trajectory that was upward facing. How were you going to address hybrid learning, online learning? What programs were important to the college? So we heard this information, but we also heard about how important it was to create campuses that supported the students, that were attractive, that allowed them places to be and stay and learn and help them in their individual lives, because you have a lot of different types of learners at this college. It isn't just a traditional right out of high school student. You have a variety of learners. So we heard a lot about that, and we try to incorporate that into every part of the plan as well so that it would be responsive. And ultimately, that helped put together programmatic elements that then are evidenced in the plans and the 5-year and 20-year plans that we're going to show you. So it was a lot of great information. Again, who did we talk to? The word everybody is a little broad and excessive, but practically everybody. We really tried to do a good job with meeting with people from every corner of the college and around the college or who had a stake in the college. And people were very generous with their time. And again, we do thank the college for that and everybody that participated. Because all of these groups really helped shape this together. And that's why, again, can't take singular credit as the architect of the master plan. Really, everybody helped pull this master plan together under this great leadership of the board and the president. We put together this mission statement. I don't like reading to everybody, but it's a little wordy, but really, it's aspirational. But a master plan has to be aspirational. You know, the master plan has to talk about where are you today and where do you want to be and where can you go to. It is getting more competitive in this world around us because of the economy, because of competing colleges, because of online learning. So Daytona has to set forward this visionary plan. They've had a great history and a great present, but how do we help it have a great future? So this is an aspirational sort of summary of where we want this master plan to be able to guide you over the next 5+ years. It will be reevaluated in 5 years, but we try to put enough thought in there that it would carry you beyond that 5 years and then be phased in and then modified and updated and built upon as you move forward. But at the core of this, it's students, it's community, it's regional economic development. Those are some of those core themes, again, that we heard. And again, what came into this? What did we hear? Improve some of the aesthetics, show how you're distinctive, promote wellness. Flexibility, the word's everywhere, but it is really, really important at this point. How do you connect to your business communities? How do you respond to workforce? So this is really what informed that. So that gets us to today, because again, as Chris indicated, over this 8- to 10-month process, we've gone through a lot of steps, and it culminates in these plan recommendations that we're presenting to you today, and we would appreciate feedback, thumbs up, thumbs down, yes, no, maybes on. The master plan is a guide, especially when you get out to the 20 years. For those that have been involved in a master plan, it gets looser as you get out 20 years because who knows what happens in 20 years. But again, you have to have those aspirational goal points to move towards. And in the 5-year plan, we think, based upon the information we heard, it's a pretty solid and accurate plan that reflects where you are now and where you can be in 5 years. So starting with Daytona Beach campus, improvements we're looking at within the next 5 years, and in no specific order, again, this is just going through, but there's plans for a second residence hall. The first residence hall has been so well received and it's been so great and so exciting that we have found a home and we propose a second residence hall to be built within the next 5 years. It would have a corresponding outdoor quad landscape area for student gathering. What's really important about this plan in the next 5 years is as we've walked, we wanted to establish some campus core elements where it would really engage students more. We understand things when it gets really, really hot or gets really, really rainy, but overall, you want places for students to come together outside of the buildings. So we are looking at a new landscape core with feature element right in the heart of campus that would then have branches and arms that would reach out to other nodes at the campus. Also within this plan, we're looking at maintenance and storage buildings. One item here is already the multipurpose field, which is already in planning. It's already moving forward. That's a project that I think, Chris, that was about a year, year and a half ago, I think, that that was initially contracted bid.
Correct. We're still working on zoning, but it's moving forward.
So that appears in this plan, assuming, you know, in the next 5 years that moves forward. We're talking about pedestrianizing and landscaping some of the parking areas, especially those that are along the major points of entry to try to enhance the aesthetic of the campuses. We're looking at electrical vehicle charging stations. That's going to be a common theme through all the campuses, so if I forget to say it, it applies to all campuses. Richard, or Randy, sorry?
Yeah, I just have a comment, and I realize that this may be picky, but I think the campus is, it's got some really great buildings, and when you think about the landscape plan, I understand palm trees in a specific area, but when they're up against a building and hiding a building, I'm not sure that's a good plan.
Right, so for some buildings, depending on the facade and age, it might be appropriate, and I'm not trying to be disparaging, but there are some buildings on campus that where landscape screening would be beneficial. For some of the newer buildings and the new construction, we would not want to be hiding the facades, correct? And again, I think the best example of that is the new student center itself. You know, right there, prominent, right as you drive in, you see it, it's not screened. Even the signage, when you turn, all of your views are allowed to see it. So that is something that we've taken into consideration and thought about, because you're right, landscape can be it can help with shading, it can help along walkways, but you also want to cut it open in areas to maintain views and connectivity and allow people from different areas to have those relation points to different parts of the campus. So great point, Randy.
And to that point, too, you know, when we build a building, you know, at first the trees are a little smaller or whatnot. And so recently what we did on the Husseini Center in front of ISB, which is especially on the north side, a lot of those palm trees were blocking the building. So we did exactly what you're saying. We took down, I can't remember how many, but we took down a bunch so the building could pop again. Okay. And also, you know, also lifted, you know, trimmed them and everything. So you're exactly right. You know, we do look at that. If now some of the older buildings, it might be nicer to look at a palm tree versus the side of some of our buildings, but the ones that need to shine, we make sure we
well, and you know, you pick the trees and you put them in the ground at the time so that they don't get in the way of a good building.
Yeah.
But that's right. Anyway, I just
yeah.
wanted
to no, I think it's a very important point, because you know, that's one thing, the delicate balance of landscape. It looks great and from certain views, but in other cases it can be very detrimental. Also, maintenance becomes harder. The more you cluster them together and the closer you put them up against the ground, it's physically just harder to maintain them. So you're not necessarily just damaging potentially a building or blocking a facade, but the trees themselves can't be maintained and kept healthy as well. So it's an excellent point. We're also proposing some renovations in the first 5 years to the gymnasium athletic. Oh, wrong button. I went to go to the laser. Hold on. Sorry about that. Renovating photography, renovating the gymnasium. Again, there's some underutilized space. There's some spaces that probably could use a finishes refresh. So we've targeted that to occur in the next 5 years as well. Moving to the 20-year plan. So again, this is aspirational. This is if a certain set of circumstances occurs. But we would be looking to construct a new building out along ISB, which sort of would be symmetric to the Sandy building that's out there right now. Again, the purpose of this would be a freestanding academic building, likely fine arts. It's an opportunity to build and grow and expand upon the fine arts programs. It also gives the latitude and flexibility to remove and take offline some buildings which are a little older and possibly underutilized, and creating opportunities for additional campus core space. And if, you know, selective parking, again, trying to pedestrianize the core of campus and appropriately locate a appropriately locate new parking. There's the potential to renovate buildings for workforce and just give general refresh to the buildings. So we're looking at renovating several of the buildings in here, and 140 looking at potentially even changing the use of it to more workforce management type things. Again, so looking at ways where we can consolidate departments, consolidate programs, not turning into a workforce like shop building, but looking at other spaces where programs might be consolidated from different areas of the campuses. We also have a placeholder in this master plan 20 years out for a parking garage. So the parking garage is a piece of is a conversation point that came up a couple different times during this. It was in, it was out, it was in, it was out. Right now, you know, parking seems to be okay. With the new plan, parking seems to be okay. But we just don't know exactly where the trajectory may be in 20 years. So what we want to do is find a spot that if you needed one, or if it became appropriate, we had a spot on campus that lined up in the plan. So it may not come to fruition. That might become eventually an academic building, who knows. But if an academic, or I'm sorry, parking deck was required, especially with a third residence hall maybe down the road, if this residence program continues to be successful, we think that that would be a good location for it.
Do we have? Okay. Do we have an idea how many spaces we might be losing with the addition of the buildings? I know the parking garage is there to assist with that.
I am so glad you asked that, because I actually looked at that to try to have the numbers ready to go for that question.
Okay.
So I don't have the exact number, but what I did look at is across all five campuses. So again, I'll answer that with all five campuses in mind based on where we're at. Daytona Beach actually remains relatively neutral aside from the parking garage across the 5 and 20 year plans. Okay. So as we're adding a building, we're taking a building out, we're adding a parking lot, you know, we're moving something around, we're maybe re-infilling with parking. So they say relatively neutral. So we might be up a few, down a few. But again, I tried to shorthand my note that relatively neutral. The ATC will remain generally neutral. The other three campuses we looked at, DeLand, Flagler, and New Smyrna, all have increases of parking, because also we are proposing to increase and expand those, which we'll show you in a few minutes. So as more buildings show up, more parking is required. Okay. But you're basically parking neutral here, less the parking garage.
Like where the where the resident hall is currently located on this plan is is where the old theater used to be. So it's just a dirt pad. It's not parking. So we don't lose any parking by adding that building there.
Yeah, I can actually probably go back one slide.
Well, when you're adding these buildings, presumably it's because there are more offerings and attract the college to more people. So don't we believe that there will be some pressure on the parking piece?
It really becomes that guesstimate of what happens in this hybrid situation as we move forward in online learning. So right now, you guys are entering into, you know, maybe call it the first year and a half, second year on this rebound out of it, where you have this real dip and then it's coming back. And through all of the conversations we've had and looking at enrollment, you know, we feel that, and I believe we've talked about a 3% targeted steady enrollment. It better would be great, but, you know, at least some minimum enrollment that the college wants to look at across its longevity. But potentially up to 2% of that 3%, you know, so or two-thirds of that could be hybrid or fully online, depending on what the service offerings are, or they might be at remote locations. So it's difficult to say what that parking need is going to be, is because we could build a new building that will be in high demand for new programs and become this sort of destination as a fine arts program in the region. But, you know, we have offset it with parking. And also, not exactly sure how much of this parking in 15 years is going to be needed, depending on how it goes and depending on what programs stay at what campuses. So we're trying to be mindful with it, which again is why we've highlighted, we've got a spot. If you have that great problem of being excessively overburdened with people coming to campus, we have a plan for it. If it's all online, then this area could be repurposed for something else.
Did you look at surface lots or just a parking garage? Parking garages are expensive.
When we counted everything, we were looking at surface lots as far as the analysis of are we plus, minus, negative. As far as could you get away with a surface lot or putting, you know, more surface park, and again, I'm not going to take out the soccer field. No, but, you know, but putting out, you know, surface lot potentially somewhere else. But the problem is that you are landlocked to a degree. We understand there's properties across the street, and but there's only so much space. So if the demand was a little, sure, that could be a surface lot instead of a parking deck. But I think by the time that building would want to come online, you would have a much better idea. The problem with parking decks is they cost money, and you're not going to get money to build them.
And we currently have capacity now. So we're not full, our lots right now.
I'm just thinking.
We could grow, again, you know, quite a bit. Happened back to my history of where we used to be with enrollment. Again, the hybrid and online, you know, factor is really, really relieved the parking pinch. I mean, in 2009, we were parking cars on every piece of grass we had on campus and across the street. That went away before the pandemic. That went away just as a function of online growing and hybrid. So you're not coming to campus 3 days a week. You're only coming one day. You know, so we have. I mean, I think we have capacity to grow if these buildings are needed. These are just ideas. They may not be needed because we also have capacity in some of our existing buildings to fill before we. Our survey of need will not grant us the opportunity to get another building right now.
Just looking out 20 years, I might also look at that property and think about where surface. To get you there, just in case. So you get, I mean, if you get to that good point where we need more parking, we could do a trade-off.
I mean, in 20 years, you might own more property. And again, a parking deck doesn't make any sense because you've got property and you have the land to expand out to, or you just reorganize other things internal. And I think that's the importance of, it's a 20-year look, but it's revisited every 5 years because as you go, you'll be a little bit closer to that time period where you'll understand. And I was just double-checking, in the backup, we do have a more detailed parking analysis, again, with all the numbers and everything. Should you guys find those things exciting to look at? also, one of the points here, and I didn't mention it as I was describing already, but we have these items number 5 here at Selective Areas. Signage isn't really important. You know, we're really looking at how do we look to update the branding, and again, so we're looking at new campus signage as part of, it's shown in the 20-year plan, but we think that that's probably an earlier. You know, so if you stop at 5, but once you're 6+, but looking at, you know, new and additional monument signage, again, so looking at the different approaches, how are you entering campus, how can we liven it up, how can we continue to brand the college and put it out there, because it is very important, this presence that the college has along ISB, so, and the access road, that's white, you know, how do you experience it, how do you signage it, is it digital display, so that's also part of this next 20-year plan, but again, I think that's likely early, you know, that's probably like 5+ plan, if we had an interim. Yes.
I'll throw in my 20-year request that we look at that cemetery. I mean, it's probably 25% of the, you know, in comparison to the acreage of the campus, and it just jumps off the site plan. And you know, the 5-year plan, please, when we talk about landscaping, you know, that should not be the thing that our residence hall residents look out of their back window at. I just think that needs to be addressed. And if it's in a 20-year plan, if it's in a 50-year plan, whatever. But we're going all the way around, and that just seems to, you know, cry out, maybe ghostly cries, but needs to be addressed. The other thing is, you know, some of the
spokesperson for that.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, be the one.
Wow. You know, well, it could double as a parking lot.
I know where you were.
Yeah. Tombstones as parking curbs, whatever. But you know, looking at White Street, too, and some of the infrastructure around the campus, you know, if there's a way, you know, I don't know if anybody else has experienced this, but four-laning of White Street right there, it's like a speedway. And when you're pulling out, it is treacherous. People fly down that the lanes there. And to make it two lane and put in a median and put in some crosswalks for traffic and, you know, please, please take out lights. Don't put in more lights on ISB. Make it right turn only on the south end of White Street and create more of a campus environment that's
There's actually a thought that, you know, I don't think timing would be good to include it right yet, but as we do the zoning here, the thought I have is that this White Street actually stops here and it gets rerouted around this way, and that this that way we can truly connect.
Great.
Campus.
Mm-hmm.
But timing is everything, so I want to make sure that our zoning is underway.
Right.
And but I mean, ideally, you could stop it right here, and then have it go around this way. You'd have to have access, unless we acquire that land, to that. But that way, this would be walk friendly.
Sure.
Connection right here.
That's.
But that's just a dream, you know, that we could address, I think, at a later time.
And as a frequent traveler on ISB there, you know, when you turn and you're going westbound off of Nova, and then you get to Seneca, and then you get to White Street, the lights are ridiculous. And it does disrupt that campus pattern. And, you know, if you have the crosswalk lights there that we've approved in the last couple of years, I mean, I think there's a way for students to get across ISB safely. But, you know, I think that's got to be part of the longer-term plan.
The point you're bringing up, we may have discussed maybe one of the board meetings, we discussed with FPAC. I think the challenge with these specific ones, Dr. Mbasa, correct me if I'm wrong, it's just been because it's property you don't own and the logistics to potentially acquire it, it's challenging at this time to propose a 10 or 20 year plan of, well, we're taking this and we're taking this and we're taking this. Because when the document gets uploaded to the Daytona State College website and somebody looks at it and they start getting a little antsy about, wait a second. So I think that's where we've tried to tread lightly. But to your point, it's all great if you could acquire that and then pedestrianize that. It gives you expansion, it gives you green space, it gives you more feel. That'd be almost a third of your campus increase.
If I can just add really quick, you know, the zoning overlay that we're working on right now stretches all the way from where the multipurpose field is to ISB, just about. And what that overlay will do is it will make it educational, is the overlay. It won't prevent people from buying property other than us, but it's really allowing the educational side of things to come in, and they can't complain that there's a ball field or a parking lot right next to their house. So it's a big deal, and it should be happening within the next, Rodney, maybe 6-8 months is what we're talking about. And that's going to kind of set up that future, and we purposely didn't want to go in and start putting stuff in there yet because we're in that process and this is a public document, you know, and but I think that future that you're talking about is heavy in our minds because we don't know what that could be. It could be partially parking, it could be athletics, it could be even buildings that we're doing there, I think, in the future. And then when I've done a couple classes here on the history of the campus, you know, there was a road that ran in the front of campus east and west. That really got absorbed over time, very, very similarly to what we're talking about. That road disappeared, became part of the campus. You really don't even know it existed. A church was there. There were a bunch of other things. And so I think, you know, with that, what Tom is talking about, I think is the key, is changing it from this vehicular pass-through to part of the campus is what the future goal is. I think the overlay is that first step. I think the next time this plan goes, it's going to look a lot different.
Regarding the Daytona Beach campus. Right. So let's move on to the land. Excuse me. So in the 5-year plan, And again, some of this is already in motion with the firing range project already in. It's got its inertia. It's already moving forward. So we worked closely with the college to prepare the site location plan that would inform the master plan, but also would help that project move forward. So it was done a bit in tandem. But what we're looking at over the next 5 years is new drive training course with the support facilities, storage structures, viewing course, et cetera, basically a physical activity running course, like a training course. We're anticipating some additional stormwater management that needs to happen. And for those that don't know, the land is covered with wetlands and it's like utility easement. So it's a lot of property, but there's a lot of restrictions on it. So that really informed and shaped where things went and how they were laid out on the campus. We're also looking at renovating the existing building here to add in the firing range building as well as some additional support structures. We're also looking at renovating the building to be able to better support emergency services. These buildings have computer labs. They have classrooms already. So we had some great conversations about how we could actually take and move some programs over there, reorganize, and take advantage of that to bolster the growing programs and begin to allow that to be consolidated a bit, as well as a new thermal storage tank on campus. So there's a lot of improvements, planned for this. And again, Building 8 and Building 1, looking at really using them as effectively and as efficiently as we can to support EMS, and then also looking at doing renovations that are focused towards student success and student services on campus. Oh, last but not least, a big sign that you can see from the highway. So again, it came up in a lot of conversations. People sort of go by this, they fly by the site, you know, they may not even know it's there. So, making sure that we take advantage of the property we have and the ability to put a sign up there that would allow people to see and to get the name out there and put up visible signage there from the highway. Any questions on 5 year? So in the 20 year gets very exciting because we take out the relocatables. And again, that may happen in the 5+ version of the plan, not out at 20 years. Again, the timing is going to be based upon the demand. But looking at taking them out and putting in a new academic building and creating a new academic campus core here. Again, trying to thematically tie the improvements from all of the campuses together and doing it in a way that they would be aesthetically linked, continue the aesthetics, build off of the great appearance and materials and design that you already have in some of your more recently built and successful facilities, but begin having all the campuses have more of a cohesive visual theme, as well as constructing an additional support facility here to continue the support of emergency services on campus. And again, with new buildings, just trying to make sure we're anticipating things like stormwater management, as well as additional parking. Again, this parking is appropriately located, convenience for the proposed new buildings. By count, is it necessary? Not entirely sure. Again, we would determine that over time. And perhaps this parking would make sense over time, but maybe it would mean decommissioning some parking out there if it was no longer necessary and greening some space. So there could be some trade-off. Sounds odd to build new parking and get rid of old parking, but again, you do want parking close to buildings. It's great for accessibility. It's great for visitors. I mean, there's a lot of advantages for it. So we may add parking, and then again, depending on how the demand shapes out as the years go on, if the demand isn't there, you could potentially remove or do some alternative use with those paved areas. Any questions? Get them all in on Daytona. Okay. New Smyrna. Okay. Excuse me. So for New Smyrna, what we are looking at is proposing in the next 5 years a new academic/workforce building on the campus. It also would have an associated parking area. Again, the amount of parking on campus right now would probably support the anticipated demand, but again, wanting to have proximal parking, have it be convenient and accessible. We're also looking at renovation to the Student Services Center. Again, focus on student wellness, focus on student service delivery. So those are all very important, as well as pedestrianizing, creating some additional linking walkways from some of the parking areas, and trying to, again, green them up a little bit and improve the overall aesthetic as people come onto campus and then, you know, they drive, they park. What is their first experience? You know, you want that to be a bit more attractive. So that's where we're presently planning for in the first 5 years at DeLand. I'm sorry, at New Smyrna, excuse me. I'm about to turn my page here. In the 20-year, there's a lot of opportunity for growth on this campus. It is demand-based. It is going to be, what are the community partnerships? What is the industry? How is the industry growing in this area? You know, all trends seem to allude that this could be a burgeoning area, especially with a longer look after the 20 years. So with that being said, if the demand happens, again, the 20-year is that if it happens, what do we do? Well, you have a very good amount of area where new academic buildings or new workforce buildings could be placed. It may require a shifting and addition of parking, which means additional stormwater management. But what's also important here is beginning to consider a loop road. The loop roads are very successful, one for just general traffic flow across and around the campuses, but they can also help improve safety. So depending on how the parking would ultimately lay out and how things work, you know, the final arrangement of the loop road may shift a little bit depending on how much parking you have, but we would look to create a loop road which again enhances vehicular circulation on campus and it also improves pedestrian safety on campus.
And for New Smyrna Beach, you know, in early discussions and getting some feedback, we're thinking this may be the next campus that we put a building forward and to possibly do airframe and power plant mechanics as well as welding. And I think, you know, New Smyrna Beach Edgewater has, you know, a good manufacturing group of people there. It is our southernmost campus that can tie into the Space Coast and help with that, and you know, we could do a certificate program in airframe. That would be a pretty large building because it's got to fit an airplane in it, but and welding, and then, you know, we could then also look at articulation to Embry-Riddle into their programs that they have in airframe. So so we've had some conversations there, and so that may be just, you know, something where you may be bringing back to the board for next year legislative priority.
You know, we talked about this before, Tom, but the development south of Edgewater and the Miami Corp property, it goes from Volusia into Brevard County, is going to be a game changer. And that's, you know, it's being developed, it's going to organize, but the idea is that it services the Space Coast. And, you know, I know Embry-Riddle's plugged into it. You know, I think it's an opportunity. Again, I think that's a great idea, and keep an eye on that because it's going to change not just, you know, educational offerings, but it's going to change the population distribution in Volusia County.
Yeah.
It's that big. It's a big deal.
I think what's important, just sorry to build off of that though, is again, the sizes are sort of just trying to own placeholders, but to your point, if it is a large airframe facility where, you know, planes, multiple planes, hangars, et cetera, need to be in. I mean, these could easily just be combined. So again, this is to own the footprint to dictate that you have the space. What that final space would be dictated by what the demand is and what those programs and what those business partners are bringing to you as those opportunities for you guys to collaborate on.
Yeah, and these are, you know, again, and these are guides. If, you know, we did it with the, where the resident hall is now, was actually slated to be behind Nunneman Hall. When we looked at it, you know, when we approved the plan, it was like, okay, that sounds good. When we were getting ready to do it, we're like, well, why don't we move it to the where it is now, where you can see it connect to the student center and flip and put the parking lot behind that other building. So there's nothing set in stone that the building's got to go right in that spot. You know, when the time comes and we need to move it because of whatever reason, we can do it. It just, as John said, it gives a placeholder, shows us we've got the land, you know, for it, and we can always make a tweak.
That's really the most important thing, is showing it, labeling it. That means it's on your mind. It means the next time the plan's updated, it's in front of you. It's in front of everybody to think about that, you know, this was agreed upon as this process, that these opportunities exist, so you get to memorialize it. And again, the actualization of it, the size of the building and all, again, changes. But if memorialized, then it stays on the radar. Excuse me. And then, you know, you're more likely to continue to pursue that as a goal.
I know it's on our property, but we're right in the middle of a residential community. How do we kind of keep them informed about our changes? Or do we expect any opposition?
So, you know, we, like with the land, I went to the DeLand Chamber to let them know about the firing range and things like that. So with the rezoning for Daytona, I've met with the mayor, I've met with Commissioner Reed to talk about the plans, and then we will set up a meeting with where we will invite neighbors to come to campus to discuss what we're doing so that they're plugged in. And so we would typically, if it's in the core of a campus, we've not had to really do a lot with that you know, because
I just asked because
you know,
we want
to be good neighbors and let people know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of a residential. Everything is around it, so I was just curious.
It becomes a really good neighbor policy, but sometimes legally you have no obligation.
I know.
You just notify, and that's
I know.
It. But again, the outreach, it's a really great way to just smooth it over. Plus, it's that early opportunity for community development. Somebody hears that and says, the college is looking to do this. I can help. I can be part of that. I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of benefits to attending those meetings and participating and giving that sort of advance notice.
Okay.
Excuse me, by the Palm Coast. This one, again, if we were theming these, and I tried not to theme which each plan has, but each plan sort of is either based on growth or based on certain specific. This one's really ends up being focused on connectivity. It's growth and connectivity. For those that do not know, you know, this is like the tale of two cities almost here. So, you know, you really have sort of this split campus. It is connected by walking trail, but again, there's so many opportunities if there was a better connection, if not just for safety, but for circulation, for convenience. There's just so many reasons why enhancing the connectivity between this campus makes a lot of sense. So the first 5 years really focuses on the connectivity. It's about just making the connection. So the primary element you'll see is making improvements to parking, entrance signage, as well as this connecting road along with a walking path that connects the two sides of campus. This becomes very important because we can do it in a safe way, which is really important. If you're going to have people walk from one side of the campus to another, you have to have line of sight, you have to have good lighting, you have to have a lot of safety measures in place, and you want to separate, obviously, the pedestrians from vehicular traffic as well and do that in a logical manner. But then we're also looking at growth. So we're looking at constructing a roof structure in order to, over the Smolens, so that, you know, we can enhance the offerings there. There's this sort of amphitheater presentation space. We're looking at a new academic building. We're looking at student services renovations, as well as campus quad improvements. So in the conversations, we've seen there's growth potential at all campuses, but this one also had some very specific opportunities that came up as we were talking about this sort of 1 to 5 year about what this campus could be and what the needs likely are as we go over that next 1 to 5 year process.
And as you all know, this project is in our legislative priority this year. Mm-hmm. So when you see our local delegation, you might want to just remind them of that.
And 20-year. Again, the what's possible. You have land. You're not constrained by wetlands. You know, so some of these other campuses that have been constrained physically by roadways or constrained by wetlands are constrained by other things. We don't really see that as an occurrence on this campus based on all of our analysis. Now, whether the demand 100% happens or not, again, we're not sure. But this campus is sort of primed become another major campus in this system. It has the opportunity to create a second campus core with multiple additional academic buildings, a really convenient and well-designed loop road, additional stormwater management. This is the optimal development of a campus when you have space, when you have land, and when you don't have a lot of known encumbrances, which this campus does have all of those opportunities going for it. So this is an area, again, where depending on how workforce and trades and other economies and other businesses in the area go, this has the footprint for really well-planned, long-term, substantial academic growth in the region.
Any questions? Okay.
And the ATC. So the ATC doesn't have a lot of land to grow, but there's so much great going on that we do have to look at what can we do there? How can we expand those programs? And there is some reorganization that can occur that can enhance the manufacturing and the trade programs at this building. So one of the things we're looking at in the very near term is building an addition. This might be for diesel or mechanical space, but this is a growing program, appropriate for the region. For the building specifically, looking at a way to enhance the facade, the aesthetic. So unlike some of the other campuses where they have multiple buildings, some new, some older, different things with landscaping, this is one that just sort of sits right out there, and it would really benefit from some frontage enhancements, especially because there's not a lot of opportunity to build. You're not going to build, another big building on this campus. You're not going to do a lot of other improvements. So the opportunity does exist to put a new skin on the, reface the building and, really brand it appropriately. So it could potentially look like a lot of the other new, more contemporary Daytona State College buildings. There's also opportunities to move some of the programs out of here. EMS and emergency services and things move out to other campuses we've identified. More workforce can potentially happen in here. Yet none of this is decided, but as part of the master plan, one of the things we looked at is how do we begin to efficiently co-locate programs to really take most and best advantage of the space. And then we would also be looking at doing some enhancements in the parking lot charging stations. I did skip that on the last three, but we had covered that, as well as walking paths and greening them. And in a 20-year plan, again, not a lot more space to happen, but potentially a second addition as these workforce programs just continue to be in demand, these trades and training programs. You need the space for them. The way the building lays out, there's a lot of logical ways that we could just continue to expand just like we had proposed in the original 5-year. And who knows, that might be year 6 again. That might be the 5+, not really the 20-year based on demand. The population is growing. You've got the huge residential developments going up around. I mean, just it's growing. So this can really respond to what we see as a forthcoming need and a demand that's growing with the population in the region.
Just a quick question on that, maybe curiosity. Sure. But the pathway in the parking lot, do you find those are mainly aesthetic or people use them? I guess my concern is that on a college campus, typically it's going to be the shortest distance between two points, no matter what you put there.
So yes, people use them, but to your point, the final design probably would be a bit more straight and linear. Some of this is a bit graphic to draw attention to it, so when you're looking at the plan, it stands out as an identifiable thing. What we do want to do, though, in order to create safety, especially across a sea of parking like this, is you do want to funnel them to sort of a safety point, and you do want to have sort of one main walkway, and you do want to traverse it in a way. And whether it goes island to island or we just straighten it out, again, the final design would probably be something straighter. But we do find that with some landscaped islands, and then you depress the curb and you put nice sort of brick pavers and such in there, it really does help guide. It's going to get everybody now. There's going to be somebody parking out here who has to get to class, and they don't give a ding-dang-dong who is driving wherever, and then they're looking at their phone, and they're going to walk right across. So, again, you can't teach everybody. You know, you can't train for the 100%, but if we can make it for the majority, if we can give them a safe route, and really what's important is make sure there is a safe route. Sometimes we can't force people to choose it, but you want to give it to them. And it also comes into accessibility as well. One of the things that's very important is you can see some of these parking lots that appear flat. They're not flat. They all pitch in some direction because that's how the stormwater goes in different directions and stuff. So nothing's ever truly flat. If they exceed certain percentages of slope, they actually become non-accessible. And so, yes, while the goal is to always have the handicapped parking spaces very, very close, you still want to provide a safe situation from all points. So by giving that sort of defined walkway, you can ensure that a safe path exists. Can you make them choose it? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, we've already augmented this, so we have the CDL training that's going to be starting next month. And so we're actually taking berms out to address.
Do you have a plan for that?
Starts on Friday, so yeah, we're removing
all good plans
on Friday. But yeah, it happened very quickly, so I'm sorry, that didn't get put in there. But yeah, and I think
so
it does
scratch that walkway.
Your walkway almost divides the parking lot between where that training is going to be. So yeah, I mean, we have to revision it and change on pivot when we need to do it, and CDL class will be starting very soon, and so it may change a little bit of this, but that's what happens.
I know, that's perfect, but I guess what we could do is if you even identified, hey, in this zone or whatever zone, we'll gray it out or at least put.
Yeah, I think it's, we have it. I think it's this area right here. Exactly.
Perfect. So even if it's that, if you give me a strip, we can augment this for the final master plan and just put CDL test area, testing drive area. And again, things change, but again, maybe we'll put that walkway alongside of it so you can see go alongside of it. And so that's where it takes us. So again, it's been an exciting, 8 to 10 months of work and interactive process. We feel we've learned a lot. I hope that the college has learned also a lot. We think the master planning is a great process because the college gets to step back a bit and learn a little bit about itself, which sometimes you might not be always paying attention to. It gives you sort of that higher level view to be able to step back and get out of the weeds a little bit. So we've learned a lot. I think the plan is extremely comprehensive and reflective of the values of the mission of the institution. We're very excited to present it to you, and hopefully you find it acceptable and can approve it, because we can make the minor comments and any other comments and changes that come up, but we really think we were able to capture the goals and what we think the future of Daytona State is, and it's very exciting. So thank you very much.
One thing that I just comment, it's thoughtful, it's measured, it's a conservative plan. So if you look at this on all the campuses and all the discussion here that we've had, these are not just, astronomically bold leaps, hoping, that you have the field of dreams that build it that will come. It's very measured and I think very practical. So I like the conservative nature of the plan. Obviously, a lot of thought went into it, so my compliments.
And if I could just quickly respond to that, also even how the deliverable will be shaped, there's a sort of a short front end of the plan which summarizes this and captures this, which is a document we think everybody can kind of take, whether you're a board member, FPAC, whatever. And then there's the hundreds of pages, again, of the backup. So we even tried to build the plan in a way like you're describing so that it's measured, you can digest it, you can get into it, it's actionable, it doesn't collect dust like a big compendium on the shelf. So we tried to prepare it that way, so I appreciate you mentioning that. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks so much. We appreciate the presentation. Great plan. Some great philanthropic opportunities, I think, as we look forward for some of these buildings. So it's nice to keep an eye on that. And we will adjourn and reconvene in 2 or 3 minutes.
Sorry.